Thank you, ladies, all of them, for all of that musical, I was going to say entertainment, but that's not right. Blessing, let's do that. That sounds much more pastorally, and so we'll go with that. But thank you for all of that work that went in this morning to provide and part of the worship service. Title of my message today is Nameless Faith. I thought that'd be a great Mother's Day title, and so I just went with it. That is not trying to describe all of you ladies and that you have no faith. It was not intended that way, so please forgive if it comes across that way. The idea of a nameless faith, I think, is better represented over in the book of 1 Samuel, but don't go there. I'm just going to relay the story to you, and then we're going to go right here to Hebrews chapter 11. In the beginnings of 1 Samuel, we get the story about a young lady who had no children, desperately wanted them, felt slighted because she did not receive them, and spent many years praying that God would give her a child. Eventually, God does hear her prayer, answers it, and gives her a little boy. And the first thing she does with that little boy is takes him to the temple and offers him there and says, when he's old enough, I will give him back to God. The little boy's name is Samuel, and he goes on to be one of the great prophets and leaders of the nation of Israel. And there are two books actually named after him. Go figure, first and, anyone want to guess the second one? Second Samuel, right. But note that there is never any mention of his mother past the first part of the first book. The last mention we see of her is when she came once a year, or as often, I reckon, as she could for worship, and brought him a change of clothes, because he surely would have outgrown the previous pair that she'd given to him. She came and loved on him, told him that he was cared for and prayed over, and then continued to let him stay there and serve the Lord. I don't know if she knew this, but she raised an amazing man of God by giving him to God that way, and he really did change the course of Israel's history and became the man that crowned their first and second king over their nation. But you don't hear much about her anymore. Matter of fact, I wonder if in my telling of the story, if anybody heard or remembers her name. It is Hannah. We don't hear much about Hannah, do we? We name some of our little girls that in this day we live in, but she doesn't get much notoriety in Scripture. She's not brought up over and over again. She's not referenced again and again. She was just that mom who did what she did. And she had, in my opinion, a nameless faith. She put her faith into action even if she was never known for it, if she was never heard about again, if no one ever even knew that was her son. She was not so concerned with that as she was with loving her kid and giving all that she had to make him the man that he became. So I want to say thank you to the moms who also operate in somewhat similar fashion of a nameless faith. And I'd like to take us, if you don't mind, to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to borrow from that passage something that'll go along and preach us a little better. And so if you would indulge me with Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 32, but our official starting point is verse 35. But verse 32 says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Verse 32 through 34 begins a passage or a section in Hebrews 11 where you don't name the heroes along with what they did. You begin to just see all of the things that happened. And this marks the last little section here, 32 to 34, where we can attach stories of faith with names of individuals. Notice they're all men. Most of this passage is. But all throughout Israel's history and church history, we've had women step in and do miraculous, amazing things by faith to see God come through in impactful ways over and over again. But many of those stories are not recorded for us. You won't see or hear about them. You won't find a history book relaying them. Now, fellas, we could say the same about us. There are many men who have also walked by faith with God and have not been known for it this side of heaven. But it's not about us today. It's about the ladies. It's about the fact that we can find in the passage that follows here, verse 35 to 40, a section of Scripture where the women very much can find a place. Find a place and a rich history of faith where they did what God had called them to do. They did the work that God had laid before them and maybe went on to never be known after that. Known possibly in their lifetime, in their neighborhood, maybe only in their homes and within their families. But sat up late at night, prayed, sought the face of God, cooked, cleaned, cared for, sometimes sacrificed greatly, so that the people that God had entrusted to them would grow up and become more. My mother impacted me early in my teenage years with a story about when I was born. I do not count myself among this great hall of faith. I'm not trying to give myself a place and a position, but her story just relayed to me the heart of a mother and what that looks like. She said that when I was born, she was, of course, 20 years old, so early on in life, newly married, and if she knew as much as I knew at 20, then we neither one of us knew anything. She said, but when I was born, she was very clear on this one detail. She was about to do one of the most important things in her life. God had given her a task, and she took that task very seriously. Now, for 23 years, that story weighed over me, and I thought, yep, Mama raised a preacher. Until my mama had another child, a little girl. And I asked her one day, I said, you know that story you used to tell about your favorite son, right? I said, do you have any similar emotions when my sister was born, the younger and lesser? She said, yep, it was every bit as strong. She said, I was thoroughly convinced that if God decided to give me a child, then God had decided to give me one of the most important jobs I would ever do. And he gave me two. One when she was 20 and one when she was 43. Quite a bit more wisdom was put into the second one. That's why she's such a better person than I am. But I'm so thankful for my mama, who filtered through all that she went through in her early days and chose to do all that she could to give me the best. And as if I thought she was done, she did it again. So moms, thank you. If you have filtered through the mess that this world slings at you and chosen to give your children the very best that you could, thank you. I hope you find not a disreputable place this morning, but a very honorable place among those who had a nameless faith. Let's pick up in verse 35, shall we? The women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. We have here in verse 35 the beginnings of the section that I spoke about where there are people that weren't known, they weren't named, they weren't remembered by any of their family heritage, but they were remembered more in this passage as those who trusted God and saw amazing things happen. We see in verse 35 here that there were, in fact, some women, quite often in the Old Testament, widows. And in their culture, the widows were put in a place that without a husband, if they had no children, then they had no future. They needed another generation to prove that the land and the blessing and all of the things that would continue would pass on to another group. And so quite often when their husbands had passed away, they would see in their son the chance for another generation. And on more than one occasion, a widow could be found with a dead son in the Old Testament, and a prophet would come by and raise him to life, giving back to that wife, giving back to that mother, the hope that there was a future for her and for her family. Now, while those stories were wonderful, and we're thankful for those, that kind of rescue did not always happen. For instance, the latter part of verse 35 here says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. It said there are some that did not see their dead raised to life. There are some that did not see the immediate rescue in their day, but that did not deter them or keep them from continuing to trust in God and believe that he could come through. It said that for those, they were often, you see it, tortured. not accepting deliverance. What does that mean? Why would they not accept deliverance? I mean, if by faith God shows up with a rescue, why wouldn't they take it? Because sometimes taking a rescue costs those that you love more than it costs you. Sometimes by accepting a way out, you end up asking something of those that are closest to you. Yeah, it's good for you, but it might not be good for them. I find this example in mothers again and again and again, where they might be in a tough spot. They might not always enjoy what they've been called to do. But there they are, not accepting deliverance for themselves with the hope that God can do something through their sacrifice. The rescue they have determined is not for them, but for those that they love. Believing that there is a better resurrection. What does that mean? Well, they've determined that their immediate rescue might not be for them. It might be for those that they love, but they put their trust that God will, on the day that it counts the most, raise them up and reward them for their sacrifice. It's a weird thing that you would be so sacrificial and give your life away to someone else and not have it appreciated. To not even hear so much as a thank you or a glad reward or return for all that was given. It's an odd twist, I guess, of our culture, but if it's here, it must have been, you know, cultures before us as well, that someone who loves you so much would sacrifice so much and only be known for their errors and their mistakes. But such is the way for many people and their mothers. They only remember mom for what she did wrong and have a very difficult time remembering any of the things she did right. For how many of you in the room can remember anybody cleaning your diaper? Somebody did. How many of you in the room can remember anybody teaching you to eat? Unless you're a stroke victim, you can't remember that. And even if you are a stroke victim, you probably still can't remember that. But we had moms teach us how to eat. How many of you remember learning how to walk as babies? But there we had moms teaching us how to do that, right? You ever take a step out of the bed in the morning and think, thank you, Mama? There's so many things that they did for us, and we just never think about it. And the odd thing about that is that there are so many things that moms did, and they never think about it either. Of course I taught you to eat. Of course I cleaned your diaper. Of course I taught you to walk. What kind of mom would I be if I didn't? Ah. But we never think about that, do we? There are some who give and give and only do it because they love. And I think in that way, when they do not look for a rescue for themselves, but they only look to input and pour into the next generation, then moms in that moment, looking for a final rescue from God and a resurrection in the days to come, that they represent Him very well. For that really is the way that God loves, right? He doesn't love you because you say thank you. He didn't put Jesus on the cross because you'd say yes. He didn't choose to be obedient to death, even the death of that cross, because all of the disciples would be faithful once He got up on the cross and died. He just gave because He loves. And He entrusted to passages like Psalm 22, while on the cross giving His life, believed, God, You can raise me up even after death. There is nothing that can stop the reward that You give. You'll take care of it. Thank you, moms, for all the times that you have foregone reward and hoped that God will reward you eternally. The next three verses give us some more details. Let's look at verse 36. There we go. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Now, I don't want to take away from the heroes of the faith in this passage who actually dealt with scourgings and mockings and chains and imprisonment. Please don't do that with a passage. It means what it says. There were people who by faith trusted God and endured these terrible times. I have yet to meet a mother that hasn't been mocked. I have yet to meet a mother that hasn't felt herself a little bit trapped by a sick child that couldn't go anywhere else. I've peeled a few off of my wife. Thank you, I just needed to take care of some personal needs for a moment. Yeah, I'll be right back. You don't have to be right back, I got it. Although he is puking, so I'd appreciate you coming back quickly, please. We give them a break and they come back again. Why? Verse 37. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with what? It just gets better and better, doesn't it? They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. I'm thankful to say that in the United States of America, we don't have many women that fit these descriptions, right? I mean, I know some of you would like updates to your wardrobe, but I know very few that have wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. I know of none who live in caves, deserts, secluded places. In the USA, we have many things that we are blessed with, and we're not fussing about them. We're thankful for them. So the verse that jumps out to me in this particular section of scriptures is the part there that says, of whom the world was not worthy, there in verse 38. There was no renown for them in this world. The world was not worthy to have them there. In other words, the world didn't appreciate them. The world didn't see what they were doing. The world did not deserve the sacrifice that was being made. There was no renown for them. There was no name to be built in it. They just gave. And they sacrificed not just for the purpose of sacrifice. They sacrificed for a hope of something better in this passage. Just like the mothers and the aunts and the grandmothers, they sacrifice not just because they like suffering and they like to throw it up in anybody's face. No. They sacrifice because there is love and there is a desire to instill something and help and encourage and grow and build the next generation. So these saints in this passage, men and women, who suffered this way, the world was not worthy of them, and the world did not give any renown for the things they did do. Matter of fact, quite often the saints of the Old and the New Testament would not be given renown for what they did or appreciated. No, they would actually be blamed for things that they didn't do. Well, surely it was their faith that disrupted our culture. Surely it was their stubbornness that wouldn't allow us to change and do things in a different way. Surely it was the people of God that would not allow the culture to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If it wasn't for the saints and their following God and pointing a way to a better life, we would just be able to go about and do whatever we wish. And what would be the solution to that? Kill them off. Let's eliminate them. Let's remove their name from the earth, and then we'll be able to do whatever we want. I wonder how many of us adults left home with that same spirit. Let us repent of it and appreciate those who raised us. For we've all had moments where we didn't appreciate the people that poured into us. I don't know about you, but I claim ignorance. I didn't know what I didn't know until I started trying to raise people of my own. And then I was like, wow. Then I got to call up mama and apologize. I got to call my dad and say, I'm sorry. What are you apologizing for, Greg? What'd you do now? Well, it's not like that. I'm just remembering the times when you took care of me and I didn't say thank you. The world will not appreciate when you choose to walk with God. But we, much like good mothers, should not expect it. We should just do it. Because it is the thing to do, and because our God loved us so much. I'm thankful to be in a crowd of people this morning that do just that. Many of you mothers love and give just because it's the thing to do. Many of you members of Goodwill Baptist Church give and sacrifice and work, pour out to the lives of others just because it's the thing to do. Because you realize how much Jesus Christ loves you, and you know you have a responsibility to give. So thank you. I appreciate that. It's my honor to be your pastor. When I am out in public and I hear, oh yeah, I know so-and-so. He goes to this church down the road. Oh yeah, where does he go? Goodwill. Oh man, I've heard of that church. You know, I never tell them I'm a pastor. What do you know about so-and-so? Oh man, we were hanging out this one day and they were telling me about this. They're talking about their preacher and I'm just over there glowing. Yeah, he's a huge goober. And I'm like, dad, come. No, I never hear that. I just want you to know I'm thankful to be your pastor. I'm even more thankful that God called me to be that. And I'm thankful for you moms, that you were chosen to be the mothers of these children. And if mama's listening to this, of me. That when you got no renown and no name and no notoriety for what you did it anyway. Thank you. How about a last point? Let's go there. Verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Verse 40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Well, the first thing we've got to look at with these last two verses as it wraps up the whole hall of faith is that the hall of faith talks of those who put their faith in God, walked with him, and believed promises that were yet to come would come true in their lifetime. And in this passage, it says in verse 39, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. I mean, that they namelessly, blindly trusted that as they walk forward with God, he will show up and fulfill all the things they had hoped would happen. And many of them, as we've already gone through this long list, and you can't say that they received the promise when the description of the end of their life is stoned, sawn in two, slain with the sword. I think that pretty much characterizes someone that did not see the promise fulfilled. But I have it on good intel that when they closed their eyes in this life and opened them in the next, oh, they saw the promises. They saw the plans of heaven and they saw the preparations for the coming. They saw all the things that were being put together to reward the saints and to celebrate with them when they see their Savior face to face. Well, they passed from this life and didn't see it, but when they stepped into the next, they did. And we can't see that other side yet, but what we can see is their faithfulness here. God having provided something better for us. Well, it's that whole thing of being moms again, right? I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this because I believe that if I pour into this next generation, if I pour into these kids that don't have moms, if I pour into these students who don't have good home lives, if I pour into these kids on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, that something is going to change in their heart and then they will become better people. And if I'm not around to see it, that's okay. If I'm not here to receive the promise, that's all right. Because the next generation will. Because they'll grow in faith and they'll see God work in their lives and it'll be worth it. We have a broad spectrum here of parents and children. I have a broad spectrum in my own family, some of whom have moved out and I'm still encouraging to continue that walk. Some of whom are going to be with me for a little while longer and I have much to invest. So whether you're looking at a future empty nest or the teenage years, which I will tell you and warn you ahead of time are difficult, or you're still getting cuddles at night because you have little ones in the house, know this, your love is not in vain. When you get to the day when it's not appreciated, just remember, as a young person, you probably had days like that yourself. And somebody loved you through it because you're still here. Somebody probably wanted to send you on to heaven early, but you're not. You're still here. So be patient and extend the same love to them they extended to you. And if the methods that they extended that love were not so refined, were harsh, were at times you felt unloving, or maybe even unchristian, unchristlike, give them grace. They were doing the best they could with what they had. So do the best you can with what you have. We've been given much, amen? Let's do well with it. Not because you're shamed, not because you've messed up, not because you failed, but because every investment that you've put in will come forth. It'll make a difference. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't follow Jesus. Because he keeps investing in me when I don't think it does much good. He keeps loving me in spite of myself. Because he knows better. So let's take his example and choose to do the same. And if we get to be a part of the full reward talked about here in verse 40, then great. And if we don't, then God has provided something better for the next generation, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So that puts us in this amazing place in time and in history, where we are either looking forward to being in the party in heaven with those who poured into us, or we are taking what they gave us and pouring it into the next generation so one day we might be able to open the doors and welcome them in. It's a beautiful place to be. It's an in-between place. And sometimes those in-between places are hard, yeah? Don't give up just because it's tough. It's a good place to be. And moms, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, teachers, thank you. Thank you for your investment. May we see the fruits in this life. Yeah, definitely hope so. But if we don't, may we continue by faith to believe that we will see them in the next. Amen? All right. Happy Mother's Day. I wish you a great afternoon and hopefully a good nap. But if not, hopefully a good night of sleep, which if you still have little ones in the house, that is a gift from God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that he, seeing us in our brokenness, chose to go the way of the cross, obedient to death all the way to the end, out of love for a people who might not ever say thank you. God, thank you for loving us well. And Lord, thank you for giving us mothers who loved us as much as they could. Help us, Lord, to see the good in that and to appreciate it. And help us, Lord, to look through the troubles of this life and see your great goodness and love for us. For those that are here today, Lord, that have never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that you would please draw them. Lord, please help them to see their great need and the greatness of who you are, Jesus Christ. I pray also, Lord, for those that are here that may be discouraged or downtrodden because the path to this morning has been tough. The path to this day in their life has been difficult. Lord, I pray that they would not give up hope but continue to walk by faith. And if they end this life with a nameless faith and are not known for it, Lord, we trust that you will have a new name for us in glory. But until that time, help us, Lord, for wish to be faithful just as you are faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.